What's going on, everybody? I hope you can hear me all right. This is the first time I'm doing this. I was not planning on being here in Florida. Just somebody in the chat room, please let me know you could hear me. No echoes, no problems. I literally had to set this up about an hour. Mike says it sounds good. All right, cool. All right, so we'll go with it. So, here's the deal. I'm still stuck in Florida. And Delta sucks, man. Delta basically canceled my flight. We were supposed to come home yesterday. And we got to the airport at like 5:45, checked in, 6 o'clock. We're basically chilling. And then we get an alert that the flight's going to be delayed to like 7, and then 7:30, then 8 o'clock, then 9 o'clock. Then it was around 10 o'clock in the evening, and all of a sudden you see canceled. And I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, I don't like flying. This is only like the third time I've flown, or third time since 9/11. And last night, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, we find out the flight's canceled. So now we don't know how we're going to get home. We already turned in to rent a car. The condo that my parents have is well over an hour away. And we're like, what are we going to do? Everybody scrambled. And me, like an idiot, I stood online on a counter thinking that, you know, where you basically enter the terminal, you know, where you enter the plane, that they were going to reschedule the flight for me. Meanwhile, everybody was on their smartphones setting up alternate flights. So after half an hour standing online and realizing I ain't going nowhere, we leave, we get our luggage back, and we're sitting at the luggage area. Delta is sold out. United is sold out. JetBlue is sold out. Everything is sold out on Sunday. So not only do I have this fear of flying, but now I have to come home on September 11th. And I kid you not, I don't have my smartphone in front of me, but I will definitely take a screenshot. The plane leaves at 10:28 in the morning, which is the exact time that the first tower went down. Whew. So that's what's going on. So we're in a Hilton hotel right now, and we're waiting until tomorrow morning to go to the airport and get out of here. So as of right now, tomorrow the show is still on. I will be back in New York providing any further delays. The weather's been awful over there. The fog has been crazy. But I should be back by tomorrow. So I know the video looks shitty. The audio probably looks shitty. This is a laptop that I've never used a webcam from. And I originally wasn't even going to do a show tonight. But I figured a lot has gone on in the last 10, 11 days. So we can have a quick, casual conversation about a few things. And we'll definitely break it down during the week. I know the biggest news is CM Punk. I saw a couple of super chats that came in beforehand. I unfortunately don't have like Streamlabs and all this other stuff set up, so I can't put alerts on the screen. I can show you all this. This was probably one of the only photos that we actually took from the trip. So that is us with the sun going down. And by the way, could anybody tell me what these things are? These were everywhere. I'm sure people in Florida know what they are. Are these like geckos? They were everywhere in Florida. We almost squashed a few of them. We were playing miniature golf. I think those things are called geckos. But I already decided we're going to do a watch party on Tuesday for NXT. I think Becky Lynch, somebody's going to show up and cause her chances of winning that championship. Maybe they do give the belt to Becky Lynch so she becomes like a Grand Slam champion, whatever that is. But we're going to do a watch party for that on Tuesday. But let me go back to the chat. Iguanas, somebody says, oh, no matter what, says yes, they're called geckos. I had a feeling that's what they were. I know, right, Geico. I have Geico for my car insurance, by the way. But, I see Guardian of Chaos. Shout out to you, my friend. Thank you for the 10th spot. Welcome home, DT. Not yet. Praying you're healthy, recharged, and ready. Let's sit down, talk about the wacky world of pro wrestling. Shout out to Austin, the chat. Much love and respect. Thank you very much, my friend. Sorry it has to be under these circumstances, but, you know, I know that there is gigantic, even the lighting. You have no idea what I went through with the lighting. In fact, I can't even see well with these glasses. These glasses are awesome. Problem is, you could see, like, the computer screen through them. So I can't even use these. But, you know, I could see a hell of a lot better, though. Kevin Milwaukee says, sit down is meant to be anything good. So the supposed grimier look does great with the show's theme. It's all good. All right. Hey, maybe once in a while we could just do some impromptus and just get on and talk about whatever. I know we were going to do that like the last Sunday of each month, but we've been getting a lot of premium live events and pay-per-views. And honestly, not a lot of people want to talk about everything but wrestling. So it seems like we gradually, you know, creep back into the world of wrestling. Ronnie C. with the 10 spot. Thank you, Ronnie. Welcome back to the shows, DT. Sucks you have to fly on 9/11. Quick question. Should CM Punk have been fired from AEW? Have a safe flight home on Monday. Thank you, Ronnie, for that. I haven't said anything yet about CM Punk. When we did the Q&A, I recorded that a day before I was leaving, and CM Punk was only suspended with Jack Perry. This was before the firing. So we have yet to talk about it. I might change this subject on Monday's show, but if you look at the preview for Monday's Raw post show, I don't like talking AEW on Mondays other than ratings, but we may do it Monday instead of waiting until Wednesday. You know, if anybody goes back to that Sunday night, if you remember the night of All In, I said I made the phone calls and I told you what I heard hours after the incident with Jack Perry and CM Punk. And what I said ended up being true. Of course, we didn't have every little detail, but even the Miro stuff you knew was just him and CM Punk fucking around and everything. But I will tell you this. I have watched, even though I haven't really watched too much wrestling since I've been here the last 10 days, but I've watched a little bit, and I've watched a couple of podcasts talking about the situation, and I exchanged some DMs, and one person in particular, I can't say who he is, but he works with an AEW. He knows that I don't clickbait. He knows that I don't post special episodes to draw people in and this and that. He knows I would never out anybody that gives me info. But he told me something that, as far as I know, no one online has talked about yet. And I think this is a big deal. And this kind of changed my view on the CM Punk situation. If you remember the media scrum last year, I actually took the side of CM Punk. CM Punk truly was the voice of the voiceless. The people out there that have no voice because they're not part of the elite club. Even when they're low on the food chain, CM Punk was the one person that had the balls to speak out and confront this. The problem is Tony Khan is the father of that. He is the head of this foundation. The guy, from what everybody tells me, is a really nice guy. But people do acknowledge he is afraid of confrontation. You know, I can't get very loud here, but when you heard him saying that he feared for his life, we could have had a lot of fun with that. And we'll probably have a little fun with that on Wednesday. But I will tell you something that, as far as I know, no one has reported. When Jack Perry, and I was going to save this to tomorrow, but I'll give you a little bit now since a lot of you are tuning in, and I appreciate that. When Jack Perry said on the video, "It's real glass, cry me a river," CM Punk was right around Gorilla getting ready, you know, for to come out for his match following theirs. And as soon as that blasted on the speakers in the back, CM Punk flipped out. Tony Khan was right there. And here is the little detail that no one, as far as I know, has reported, but you're getting it here. Soon as CM Punk heard that go through the screen, he flipped out. This motherfucker, this is an act. And Tony Khan told CM Punk, let me deal with it. Let me take care of it. And CM Punk started exchanging words with Tony Khan. And then, obviously, the match didn't end right then and there. It took a little bit longer. So as this is going on, you know, CM Punk was warned by Tony Khan, don't say anything, don't do anything, let me take care of it. Even though it's partly Tony Khan's fault for allowing that glass spot to take place. But Tony Khan was there. CM Punk, you know, wasn't at the entrance to come out, but he was in that vicinity, and he was warned not to do anything. And the minute that Jack Perry went through those curtains, CM Punk went into business for himself. And I got to be honest with you. I would have taken CM Punk's side in this way. If Punk was fired, Jack Perry should have been fired. Because Jack Perry, because he is an internet darling, because he is a buddy of the elite and the right people in AEW, because Tony Khan has this real love and appreciation and respect for Jungle Boy, Jack Perry, that he is getting a pass on this quite a bit. And Jack Perry, regardless if CM Punk would have said something or not said something, that guy ignored the fact that this was the biggest paid attended wrestling event in history, and still threw the jab on TV. And I would have originally said, if you fire CM Punk, you got to fire Jack Perry as well. Jack Perry disrespected the whole company. He put his situation before a historic event. And I originally would have gone that route. But CM Punk, remember my thumbnail about a month ago where it said Elite Authority? And I said that CM Punk doesn't have a legal authoritative role in AEW, but he has the permission and power on Collision. And that's why Tony Schiavone and a bunch of others all went to CM Punk and said, maybe you could get it through this guy's head not to use real glass that time with Collision. It's my wife. God bless you. So the thing is that, you know, CM Punk did have some authority. The problem is, even though you're being baited, even though you're getting owned, insulted, embarrassed on nationwide TV, even though your ego was hurt, even though Jack Perry was 100% wrong for doing that, CM Punk should not have said anything. CM Punk should have taken the high road. It's not his company. I don't care if he's an EVP. I don't care if he's a fake EVP, a supposed EVP, an authoritative figure, a supervisor, you know, a manager. It's still not his company. And CM Punk should have taken a higher ground. And when he didn't, God bless you too, Chaos. Apparently he gave a lot of people a cold. People are sneezing. She can't hear me. She's on headphones. So because of that, because CM Punk wasn't the bigger man out of all of this, CM Punk should have been fired. Should have been fired. We'll talk about it more either tomorrow or Wednesday. I got to see what time I get home tomorrow and see what happens with Raw. I did watch Payback, by the way. And yes, every prediction that Kevin and I made happened. The only thing that didn't happen is that Lita didn't come out. The falling out with Zoe Stark and Trish went down. And I got to tell you this. I know Payback is already a week later. But I will say this. It was definitely time for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to drop those titles. And if you saw this week, a lot of little things that we talked about is starting to come in together. Grayson Waller and Austin Theory as a tag team. Beautiful idea. Street Profits, getting into it with Judgment Day. We said that the Judgment Day need to go to SmackDown, need to go there right away. And they are interacting with the Street Profits a little bit. So do not be surprised that Finn Balor and Damian Priest drop one set of those titles at minimum in the near future. I think so. But I will say this. Trish Stratus and Becky Lynch, that feud stunk. It was forced. It was forced. Even when Momentum was saying, all right, we gotta end this sooner. We gotta end this sooner. They forced it and forced it and forced it. But I gotta be honest with you. It's good that they did not have a match at SummerSlam. It is good that they got the match at Payback. They would not have gotten that much time at SummerSlam. We don't even think it would have been a cage match at SummerSlam. They tore it up. They tore it up. Trish, with that knot on her head, they tore it up. I thought, okay, you know, good ending to that feud. But I thought Payback was very underwhelming. You know, every match was good, but it was very underwhelming. But now I know Rhea Ripley is going to face Raquel again. They ain't taking a title off her anytime soon. And now you see the dilemma with the Judgment Day on Raw. When they run Raw for too long, you could put the Brawling Brutes, you could put Riddle and Drew McIntyre, you could even put Jey Uso and Cody Rhodes. It's just underwhelming. So get the Judgment Day on SmackDown as much as you can. And we'll go from there. So I see Mr. No Matter What 11 sent in a 5-spot. Jimmy Uso's character seems to lack direction. Does he end up back in the Bloodline faction? I'm worried he won't be used right. Well, the problem with Jimmy Uso right now is that, and this is something we've talked about before, WrestleMania, the Royal Rumble, the road to the Royal Rumble is so far away. Survivor Series is still quite a ways away. How do you reintroduce Cody Rhodes into the mix? You can see they have nobody lined up for Roman Reigns. So they're trying to create this dramatic storyline with Jimmy Uso. I'm Bloodline, I'm Bloodline, I'm Bloodline. And Paul Heyman, oh, not so fast. And Solo Sikoa, it just feels like they realized that they peaked too early. They peaked too early with the Bloodline storyline. Now they don't know how to fill in the blanks. Just imagine if Roman Reigns goes from feuding within the Bloodline to Cody Rhodes. That is a very poor 12 months of usage. And yes, Roman has some title defenses against Rey Mysterio, and Roman could have a match on SmackDown, and Roman could fight anybody on the main roster. But they have alienated the Bloodline so much that what do you do? What do you do? They ran into a brick wall with the Bloodline. They ran into a brick wall with that Bloodline. And now they're trying to milk week after week after week. And understand this. You know, this is a big deal about it, too. The TV deals. The TV deal. Oh, no, Roman Reigns will be back on TV, Austin, in very, very short time. Just like Jey Uso. Everybody was clickbaiting that Jey Uso's going to be gone until Survivor. Remember that? Jey Uso's going to be gone until Survivor Series. That's what they were doing to all of you. I told you, I said they were giving him a little breather. Couple of weeks off, recharge, refresh your batteries, and he's back on TV. That's what it is, you know. Same thing with Roman. Roman's getting a little bit of a refresher. Obviously, you know, the focus is on him more than anybody else, so his refresher is a little bit extended. But the thing is, and this is a very important factor that I think a lot of people forget about, the TV deal. They were hoping to have the TV deals done before the Endeavor merger. And the Endeavor merger is happening. Could be in weeks. Could be in weeks. So they loaded SmackDown. Loaded it. Must-see TV, Bloodline, this. Then if you paid closer attention, it seemed like they were milking some extra weeks. You remember? Jay, you know, he turns on the Bloodline, and Jay, is he in, is he out? Is Jimmy in, is he in, is he out? And it went like 2-3 extra weeks. And we talked about it. We're like, why are they taking 3 weeks for something that should only be answered in one? Because they were trying to milk it. Meanwhile, they're pulling those strong ratings. They're negotiating a TV deal. And now what happens? The TV deal is still not done. They have hit a brick wall with this Bloodline storyline. They're trying to recreate, you know, Jay with Jimmy, and is Jimmy back? Is he not back? Oh, he has the match with AJ Styles. Solo is on the stage. It's not the same. They were trying to really keep that TV number as high as they could, hoping to ink that TV deal. Then they could calm down a little bit. You know, but neither TV deal is done yet. So now you got to scramble. Okay, what can we do? We got to spice it up Raw a little bit, you know. And by the way, I don't want to go back to AEW a little bit, but I think, and this, listen, when we talk a little bit more Wednesday about this, about, you know, everything overall, in no way, shape, or form is it a crap-on campaign for AEW, but I think Collision's future is in jeopardy. The ratings, you could put Bryan Danielson on there. You could put his wife on there. You could put his kids on there. You could put anybody you want on that show. If it doesn't have meaning, direction, controversy, a little bit of reality, you know, bleeding into TV, I guarantee you, before the end of 2024, Collision is either canceled or it's moved to a different night or maybe even a different time slot. I don't think you do it Saturday afternoons. Maybe Saturday 6:05? Maybe. But I'm telling you, Collision is done. Collision is done. By the way, I'm still trying to get the information on the firing of Ace Steel, which is very interesting because apparently Ace Steel's deal was intertwined with CM Punk's contractual deal. But there's some things coming out about Ace Steel because Ace Steel wasn't in London. Ace Steel got his job back and didn't do anything wrong to get canned. And this is tied into CM Punk, and that is an interesting aspect. That might be a bigger story than you think. So, you know, stay on the radar. I mean, some people will do the legwork, some people won't. Dorian Mesa, happy 24 months, my friend, as a channel member. And Jay Carlos, welcome to the family. Jay Carlos, a newly made member over here. So much love. All right, so the stream so far is okay. You know, that's another thing. I'm in the Hilton right now, but I'm in one of these homesteads that is supposed to be like a little like rental, like where you could live here, like extended, which I have no desire to, but apparently it's dog friendly. And somebody actually has a picture online of this room with a dog laying in the bed, and I'm like, oh, that's great. But, you know, this setup was emergency. I happen to have the webcam connected to this laptop, never used it before. I downloaded my podcast software and everything seemed to, you know, click in okay. So as long as you could see me, as long as you could hear me, you know, we'll go as long as we can. I just can't be extremely loud because our room is literally the first room by the front desk. So, you know, I don't want anybody to start complaining. All right, let's see. I'm in the chat room. I'm seeing if anybody has any questions. Benjamin says it's baffling that Ace Steel was brought back at all. That was something that CM Punk insisted. CM Punk insisted, because Ace Steel was only defending his wife and trying to break up the fight. He ended up getting in the middle of it. I'll be honest with you, I don't know why Ace Steel even wanted his job back. Listen, obviously good money. He got overpaid. Ace Steel definitely got overpaid. So, you know, in a way, why wouldn't you want your job back? I personally think Ace Steel should have never come back, even if CM Punk wanted him back. Kevin says he knows it's out of simplicity, but he hates that they replaced the snaps on the ends of the tiles with, in the WWE with Velcro. Might as well be using duct tape. I got to be honest with you, Kevin. When I did work for VPW, which was a promotion in Long Island, I think they're still in existence, but it's new owners. They had a belt with Velcro. And when I was managing, I think when Reefer was the champion, they had snaps at one point, and then they had Velcro. And I was holding the title, and just for a goof, during one of the matches, I put the belt on, and I was walking around ringside pissing people off. It is a lot easier to rip it off with the Velcro. With the snaps, you got to line it up. That's why a lot of wrestlers will put the belt on sideways, and then they'll slide it around, because they want to get access to the snaps and feel. It's not as easy as it looks, especially when you want to do it smooth on TV. The problem with Velcro, though, but I think WWE will stay on top of it, is when you get lint balls, when you get a little dust, that shit on 4K TV will show up everywhere. So I think they'll keep above that, but that's one of the reasons why they did the Velcro route. I personally, you know, I think the snaps are more beautiful. You know, when you see the beautiful rivets and everything, that's nice. The Velcro, hey, that's what they did. So, all right. Mr. No Matter What, with his 7 spot, following up a little bit early about CM Punk. Will Phil Brooks be in the WWE when things are finalized with AEW? He wants my take, because I will be honest. I am still undecided. You know, I notice a lot of wrestlers in wrestling think WWE should go nowhere near CM Punk. If I was WWE for a short period of time, if everything was ironed out, because there's some big lawyers involved in this and that, and I know the big lawyers didn't stop CM Punk for acting the way he did, but, you know, if CM Punk has a clear-cut direction, storyline, and things are ironed out. Remember when Tony Khan used to joke about the WWE contracts? The WWE contracts are, what, a dozen, two dozen, three dozen pages, and AEW's contract is 3 or 4. There would be so many more legalese involved with CM Punk. I don't think CM Punk would be as big of a problem in WWE. Right now, I'm undecided. One side of me says, yeah, WWE should bring him in for a WrestleMania, a little run. Not necessarily like a Trish Stratus run, like 3-4 months, but you bring him in for a little while. But here's the only way I say you bring him in. You have to have the perfect storyline. You know, I hear people saying, oh, can you imagine Survivor Series and this and that? And Survivor Series, I think, is in Chicago. I think Survivor Series is in Chicago. So just imagine Survivor Series in Chicago, CM Punk comes out. They have to have the right storyline. You know, Nick says Seth Rollins hates CM Punk. I bet you any amount of money Seth Rollins would be willing to have a WrestleMania match against CM Punk. Not only where real life bleeds into storyline, but the amount of money and notoriety that would come with that, I think that could happen. That might be the perfect scenario. You look at Seth Rollins right now, not a lot of people are happy still about the Nakamura feud. I'm enjoying Nakamura right now. Nakamura is doing better now than I think his whole main roster run. But if you're going to bring in CM Punk to feud with Seth Rollins leading into Mania, I'd go for it. Listen, CM Punk has been in wrestling for 20 plus years. He's always been a problem. He's always been outspoken. But yet, everybody has used him. Ring of Honor has used him. WWE has used him. AEW has used him. TNA has used him. There's rumors that Impact Wrestling would love to bring him in for a little while. If he's that, you know, problematic, why do people keep bringing him in? Why is he this unbelievable greatest wrestler out? Why do people keep doing that? So I personally think that CM Punk, let me say it like this. This is going to be a bad analogy. I'm on vacation, so my brain might be a little bit relaxed, but here's a great comparison. My wife has three Yorkies, and she's got one female Yorkie that she just spoils. And the dog, you know, doesn't listen, but the dog could do whatever she wants. My wife spoils her. When I want the dog to come over, I have to get really, like, assertive. If I wanted to go here or come over here or put that there or this, like, if I get really stern, the dog walks over, the dog listens. And my wife gets mad at me. She's like, don't talk to my dog like, now I don't say, get the fuck over here. I'm like, Chelsea, get over here. Get over here. And she listens. It's not any trouble or nothing, but some people need to have that assertiveness as someone has to take control. And the thing is that with WWE, the control is more in a publicly traded, you know, UFC, as you see CM Punk. It didn't work out, obviously, you know, fighting-wise, but was he a problem there? No. So I think CM Punk is one of these that he needs someone higher to be the boss and take control and, you know, draw the line. And Tony Khan is not that person. And the EVPs, they never, and this is going to continue, guys. This is going to continue unless everybody within AEW is either on the side of the Elite's buddy buddies or has no problem working on like a little, like, you know, like children's, you know, camp, summer camp, then that's fine. But someone else that feels that they're being mistreated, misused, this is, and it has a lot of years put in, they get a little outspoken, they'll be the next one. So this is not a problem that goes away. It's now becomes a problem where, okay, this is what AEW is. Is it worth the money? Is it worth, you know, and for some people it is. I'll tell you one thing I want to say also. I don't want to disrespect some, like, bloggers and writers and podcasts, especially podcasters online. But I saw a ton of, is this simping? Is simps the right word to use? Where they were just, you know, behind CM Punk for everything. And the minute CM Punk got fired, you know, they were just 100% behind, you know, the Jack Perry and this and that. I saw people just turn. And listen, I gave you my explanation earlier. CM Punk should not have taken it upon himself because he's not the boss. You know, but I'm not suddenly, oh, Collision, yeah, Bryan Danielson, yeah, that's an upgrade. Bryan Danielson is not going to cause the drama. And it's a, I'm like, you simp. You simp. You were fine with split rosters and roster splits, and you know, this person's only on Collision, this person's only on Dynamite, and now because CM Punk gets fired, oh, this is an upgrade, this is better, this is this, now we could focus on wrestling. Oh, that was like, you gotta be kidding me. So John wants to know my thoughts on Jade Cargill returning. I'll say it this way. I hope Jade Cargill was training. And I don't just mean on the treadmill or doing yoga or doing weightlifting. I'm talking about in the wrestling ring. I hope she was training and trying to improve her skills during the time she was out. Because if she gets put right back in that position, and no, I don't think she goes on this big undefeated streak again. But if she picks up where she left off and did not do anything to improve her in-ring ability, I have no interest in her return. I'm curious. And one match is not going to be able to spell it out. You'll be able to tell if she's been trying to hone her skills a little bit. But I'm glad she's back. You know, Jade Cargill is definitely, if she wants it and she puts in the time, she's a future megastar. You know, but right now, it's just more of a physical presence than anything else. I hope she worked out and improved her ability a little bit more, so. William is asking, when will we see Randy Orton? I hope we see him in time for WrestleMania. You know, if you're going to bring him back, if he's able to do anything, I say you wait till the Royal Rumble or maybe Survivor Series. I said this 2 weeks ago. It feels like Drew McIntyre is doing the storyline Randy Orton was supposed to do. If you remember, you know, when Riddle was everything, Randy, RK-Bro, Randy. I think what they're doing now, with the next step, is what they wanted to do with Randy Orton. And because Randy Orton cannot go yet, I think they decided, you know what, let's do it with Drew McIntyre instead. That's the vibe that I get from it. It sure feels, let me put it this way. The last couple of weeks, substitute Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton, and you tell me if it feels any different from RK-Bro. Just, you know, we don't see, you know, like, dual scooters and stuff like that. I absolutely miss Randy Orton. I do believe Randy Orton does return to a wrestling ring. Listen, if Bryan Danielson could come back, if Edge could come back, if even Steve Austin having a return match, you can't tell me that Randy Orton is that physically fragile that he'll never wrestle again. I don't buy it. I believe Randy Orton will be back in the ring. It's just a matter of time. So, Tristan is asking me, what's my favorite Bray Wyatt moment? Oh, boy. Well, on Thursdays, well, I'm used to Thursdays, but on the last Q&A that I did, I got into my favorite Bray match. My favorite Bray match, he had one with John Cena. Might have been a Payback. I don't remember which pay-per-view it was, but the my favorite moment is when the Wyatt family was face-to-face with the Shield. When the Wyatt family was face-to-face with the Shield and everybody was chanting holy shit before we even had them touch each other, That was cool. That'll always be one of my favorite moments. Plus his return, man. You know, his speech when he returned, you know, that was straight from the heart. Of course, they had to turn it into storyline. That's why he was interrupted with the Uncle Howdy stuff. You know, revel in what you are. But his speech when he first came back, that was beautiful. That's, you know, one of my favorite moments also. You know, but me, looking back on that, that's more Wyndham than Bray Wyatt. So I kind of, if we're talking straight up wrestling character, Wyatt family and the Shield face to face. So, Shout out to AS7607, DT, who would I like to see inducted in WWE Hall of Fame? Well, because they're going to be in Philly, I'd like to see Paul Heyman put in. You know, it's interesting. A lot of people are lobbying for Tommy Dreamer to be put in the WWE Hall of Fame. And trust me, when I do Mount Rushmore of ECW for singles wrestlers, I always put Tommy Dreamer in a Mount Rushmore. But I don't think Tommy Dreamer is high on the food chain for WWE to put in the Hall of Fame. So even though I would get it, listen, you put him in the Hall of Fame, that would be cool. But I think Paul Heyman's got to go in. I think Bam Bam Bigelow has got to go in. As far as women wrestlers, you know, I have to think about that a little bit further. But for me, I want to see Paul Heyman in more than anything else. There definitely has to be a little bit of a Philly presence. And I do think Paul Heyman goes into the WWE Hall of Fame. I think especially with his roots with Philadelphia, I'm surprised they haven't. I mean, it would look kind of funny, though. But I'm a little surprised that Philly has never created a statue for Paul Heyman, you know, in South Philly. But by the way, somebody mentioned China. Absolutely. But, you know, she's in with DX. But I'll say this. Did you all, if you're not aware of it, now you'll be aware of it. Did you all realize or take note that Rhea Ripley's outfit at Payback was a tribute to China? That was cool. That was cool. Her outfit looked very familiar. And it was my wife that said to me, yeah, I think China used to wear something like that. And we Googled it. I didn't even have to look far. There was already post online. Like, look, face, you know, next to each other, side by side, Rhea Ripley. Nice little tribute to China, which is cool. Sabu and RVD in the Hall of Fame. Isn't RVD already in the Hall of Fame? I think RVD is already in the Hall of Fame. Didn't he show up with weed? Or no, Sabu's in the Hall of Fame too. Wait, no, Sabu inducted the Sheik. But RVD's in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, RVD's already in. One fool thinks that it was just cosplay. No, I think, listen, Rhea Ripley does not wrestle like China at all. And, you know, I know her size. She gets compared to China because China could hang with the big boys, with the guys. But Rhea Ripley recognizes the comparisons that people, you know, do. Look at Bronson Reed. When Bronson Reed wore Bam Bam Bigelow colors, does Bronson Reed do anything like Bam Bam Bigelow? Not really, a little bit, but it was still a nice little tribute to Bam Bam. I don't think Rhea Ripley has China on her brain all the time, but it was a nice little tribute. I thought that was cool. So, and you could be a heel and still pay tribute to a legend. So, Mr. No Matter What with a 5 spot. What do I think of Dreamer's recent title win on Impact? He called out every rival promotion and said he would take on all challengers. To be honest with you, you know, Tommy Dreamer calling out other promotions is nothing new for certain feds. ECW was a great example of that. Shane Douglas used to call out WWF, WCW. In fact, early on when we got a dream match, I think it was Arn Anderson and Beautiful Bobby Eaton. I forget who they wrestled, but it was Arn Anderson and Beautiful Bobby Eaton. They teamed up and they wrestled, you know, two other individuals in ECW. But it felt like WCW was showing up, you know, it wasn't a storyline or anything like that, but, you know, calling out other promotions, it's to get attention. You know, WWE's not going to bite. I don't think AEW has any working relationship with Impact. So if they're doing it to call out MLW or NWA or New Japan or GCW or another fed like that, that's why he's doing it. Calling out other promotions, you know, is a way to get a little bit of additional publicity. There's nothing to that. And Tommy Dreamer could still go. So, you know, he doesn't have a, you know, major title. So I don't see anything wrong with it. But, yeah, calling out other promotions, you know, especially when you know. Look, remember when Bischoff called out Vince and challenged Vince to show up at a pay-per-view and Vince didn't show? And, you know, like, people, you know, fantasize. I fantasized back then what would have happened if Vince McMahon showed up at that pay-per-view. And I remember the next night on Nitro, Eric Bischoff came out on a Harley, and I think the motorcycle was lowered from the rafters or was inside the ring already. And I think he had a crown on his head, and he said it was good to be king. And at that moment is where I started to dislike Bischoff. You know, because I was like, you know, you knew he wasn't going to show. It's, you know, I don't know. But challenging other feds is nothing new. Nothing new. So, Raul, what's up, Raul? Do I think we'll still get something with The Rock and Roman Reigns with John Cena being back and the writer's strike still going on? I don't think you'll see John Cena interacting with The Rock right now. As we are realizing now, John Cena's return is not just because of the writer's strike, but it's more because of the TV deal and keeping those numbers up there for the next 2 months. And he's interacting with Grayson Waller, and that may lead to something with Austin Theory again, and it may lead to a tag match. And it's, you know, like, it's going to be really, really spread out. You'll realize within 2-3 more weeks, okay, that's why they have Cena back. As far as The Rock and Roman Reigns, the problem is, you know, we got Cody Rhodes now, and it's going to finish the story. So, you know, that kind of, like, screwed up the plans. I think if The Rock does take on Roman Reigns, it's either not going to be a WrestleMania or it's WrestleMania 41. I don't see it happening. It cannot happen before WrestleMania 40. So I do believe, and who knows, you know, maybe that ends up being like a retirement match for Roman, or, you know, Rock's last ever match. I don't know. But I don't see it happening anytime soon. It can't. Gruss is saying, do I think it's time for the WWE to drop the Rock-Roman match? Well, Gruss, I'll answer it this way. Does WWE really push it? It's the fans. WWE buys into it. WWE sees fans talking about it. They'll play into it a little bit. But no, I just think let the fans push it. Look, how many years did we hear, oh, Undertaker should take on Sting? You know, and it was the fans more than anything that were bringing it up. WWE never really brought it up. But then once in a while, they throw a little banner out there and it sparks all the emotion again. So it's not really WWE doing that. It's the fans. Why kill something that gets publicity? I wouldn't kill the publicity of Roman versus Rock. I just wouldn't push it because you know it's not happening anytime soon. But, you know, I would keep it, you know, let the fans do what they want to do, you know, and you strategically, you throw a little crumb out there. Fantasy match, you know, oh, what are the five top fantasy matches, you know, and you put Rock and Roman in there. It gets everybody talking. Oh, they must have did that list to get Rock and Roman, you know, people talking about it again. It's business. Tristan shares his favorite Bray Wyatt moment, the Firefly Funhouse match. That was good, man. That was good. Listen, my favorite match, but it's not a match, when we did the Q&A last two Mondays ago. You know, his match with John Cena at Mania, that was cinematic. What, to me, I don't call that a match because he only did two moves. But I enjoyed that more than AJ Styles' Undertaker because it was an emotional ride. Undertaker and AJ Styles was a ride also. Don't get me wrong. It was the last ride. But It's like a Twilight Zone episode with Bray Wyatt and John Cena. Like, Undertaker AJ was a good brawl, heavily edited, obviously, which is fine. I'm not complaining. But John Cena Bray Wyatt was just an emotional, you know, like, high. You know, you go from one emotion to the, it's just different. And very creative. And whoever really put that all together, and I don't know how much of it was Bray, how much of it was, but, you know, look at it like this. If COVID never hit, would we have gotten that? I'm not that sure. I'm not that sure. You know, COVID sucks, man. Believe it or not, we're kind of fearing that we might have gotten COVID on this trip because I feel like shit right now. Look, I'm drinking hot coffee, and I got to get up at 6:30 in the morning. My wife is in bed. She don't feel that hot either. I don't think we did, but we got COVID last year on a honeymoon in Florida. But if COVID did not hit, there's a lot in WWE that would have never happened. You would have not gotten that empty arena match with Roman Reigns, you know, and Jimmy Uso. You remember the whole interaction with him and Jimmy Uso, which Jimmy Uso was heavily involved also, but you wouldn't have gotten that empty arena match. You wouldn't have gotten the, in my opinion, that cinematic match with Bray and John Cena. I think it would have been completely different because it never was done before and it was never done after. So, Kappa is asking, have I ever tried conch fritters? No, I have not. I keep seeing conch. I keep seeing grouper. No. I'm a New York guy. We never really ever came across those. So, all right. How long we've gone? We've gone 52 minutes. I say we wrap this up in a few minutes. I don't want to overdo it tonight. You know, I know we're a little bit under special circumstances, but, you know, trust me, I can't even, like, put the audio up right away because I don't have access to it. This is all straight, like, you know, like YouTube directly, and I got to cap the audio later, so it's not going to be easy to get an audio version of this online. But I take your word for it, Russ. Those fritters are great. Just not for me. Not for me. Will anyone ever get a three count off the Blue Thunderbomb? It's an awesome move, but it's not really like that finisher. If a wrestler wants to use it as a finisher, yeah, you get a three count. A lot of wrestlers use it as a setup for something else. It's like the DDT, man. When Jake the Snake Roberts used to do the DDT in the 80s, the fans would start going, DDT, 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 and he'd nail it. That's it. Game over. Then it became a transitional move, and you had a lot of wrestlers using DDTs, different forms of it, and it really was not a finisher anymore. So, yeah, Chaos says, yeah, we should wrap it up in about 8 minutes. Keep it tight, you know. Nice little fun hour today under the circumstances. John Cena 2011 says Sami Zayn won with it recently. Yeah, I'm not saying that wrestlers don't win with the move, but it's not a finisher. You know what I mean? I mean, we've seen wrestlers win matches with random moves that you don't normally see them win. Doesn't make it their signature finisher. He's talking more about the signature finisher. Blue Thunderbomb would be a pretty awesome move for somebody as a single finisher. But you know what the problem is? The move is so good that, you know, like the kick out of it, it feels important. Like, holy shit, he kicked out of the Blue Thunderbomb. So I think that's one of the reasons why also. There's some moves that you should never kick out of. Blue Thunderbomb gets near that realm, but, you know, it's not, I don't think it's the be-all, end-all, like, oh, he's dead. That's it. Stick a fork in him. He's gone. He's done. I agree with you, Triple X. Demolition not being in the Hall of Fame is sad. Axe is going to be 76. I got news for you. I don't know if they would accept the legacy wing, but hear me out. If you said to me, DT, Demolition goes in celebrity wing, not celebrity, legacy wing or not at all, then I say not at all. Demolition were too important and too over in the 80s. They deserve to be on a main banner with whatever class it is for that year. The problem was the lawsuits. You know, they were involved in a lot of class action lawsuits, and that rubbed WWE the wrong way. But remember this, and you know, positive news for Demolition fans out there. Keep the hope that Axe and Smash go in, and I'll tell you why. Because even if Vince was against it before, because of the lawsuits, Vince is only going to have 16% ownership going forward. This is no longer a family-run business. Yes, it was a publicly traded company, but ownership is totally different now. So all those lawsuits, all the money that WWE World Wrestling Entertainment Incorporated spent defending those lawsuits, that don't matter anymore. Different owners. So the new owners would probably have no objection in putting Demolition in the Hall of Fame. Why should they? If they think, you know, obviously Triple H has a big call in this, and Vince does as well, but it's no longer personal attached to the business. I think Demolition go in the Hall of Fame. I think they go in the Hall of Fame within the next 2 or 3 years. And I wouldn't wait, man. Don't wait until people die. There's some people that deserve to be in. And I think at the end of the day, with the ownership change, I think that increases the chances of Demolition going into Hall of Fame. Absolutely. Rain Entertainment says, could the LA Knight movement interfere with Cody finishing the story? No. As much as I like LA Knight, LA Knight is not winning the world championship. LA Knight can't even get the United States championship right now. LA Knight, he is the fans' choice. He is the people's champion. I'm not taking it away from The Rock. He does not suddenly become the Stone Cold of this era where he has the championship and he runs the company. That's not happening anytime soon. I don't think that'll ever happen. LA Knight, as long as they do him right, and as long as the fans are happy with his momentum, as long as he's not being embarrassed, but he is not going to become that guy that leads the whole company. Will not happen. Definitely will not happen. So, all right. Let's get out of here in 2 minutes. What about Matt Bourne for Hall of Fame? Again, I think once the ownership changes, I think there's a lot of people that could go in. Matt Bourne obviously has a sad ending to his career. The problem with Matt Bourne, honestly, the problem with Matt Bourne is that he was behind the makeup. When you think, for most wrestling fans, when you think of Doink the Clown, you don't think of Matt Bourne. You know, you think of other people who were behind masks, Kimchi or others. You could have some legendary people behind those masks, but when you think of the character, you don't think of that wrestler. I think if Matt Bourne ever goes into the WWE Hall of Fame, that's a legacy wing. Not main, no. Legacy wing, yes. Not main. No way. Kevin Oshiro says LA Knight gives him Zack Ryder vibes. I don't have a problem with your opinion. Listen, I'm big on LA Knight. I'm enjoying what he's doing. I'm rooting for him. He doesn't give me Zack Ryder vibes. Not everybody likes LA Knight. I'm a big fan, but even I will say he is not going to become the head of everything. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Matt Riddle news, nothing right now. You know, we'll get into some stuff later this week, Austin. You know, yeah, I haven't talked to anybody over the last 10 days. It was a pretty good vacation. Kind of ended crappy. I wish I was home in New York right now. And trust me, you know what sucks even more? I got to get on a plane tomorrow, and there's a sign on my office door that says I will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. I have nobody in New York who has the keys to my office. So I have no way of updating that sign. I updated my voicemails, but I could only imagine tomorrow at 10 a.m. how many customers are going to show up at my door and then stand there and wait and wait and wait and wait and then realize I'm not there. So trust me, these extra 2 days really screws everything up. So plus, by the time we get home tomorrow, all the work I was supposed to do for my office, it's going to carry over to Tuesday. So it's going to be kind of rough. So, you know, we, as far as shows go, you know, we're going to do a Raw review on Monday. We'll talk of some other things as well. Tuesday will be Patreon. Wednesday, we'll definitely talk more about the AEW stuff. As the week goes by, you know, we'll gradually, you know, get back in the swing of things. So, before we get out of here, everyone out there, keep Tristan's mom in your prayers. She's in the hospital right now, and she's got blood in her lungs, and I know that very well. My uncle had that issue. I don't know if she's a smoker. It's none of my business, but blood in the lungs, it's something very serious. But you know, if they catch it early, and you know, it definitely can be. My mom had a lot of fluids in her lungs once she had heart surgery. And you know, you think to yourself, wait, heart surgery, how do you get fluid in your lungs? You know, it believe me, I tell you that your lungs fill up with any type of fluid that causes less oxygen, and less oxygen to your body is not good. But I hope I want to hear good news later this week that everything worked out and she's good to go. So, all right, everybody, I'm going to jet out of here. So I know it's a little bit shorter than usual, but as I keep talking, like I hear like little things in a hallway. So I can guarantee you my voice is probably resonating into that hallway. But I'm going to jet out of here. So, you know, just a little update as far as what's going on with me. And listen, if anything goes down weather-wise and I'm stuck here again an additional night, I will let everybody know tomorrow. But we got JetBlue coming back home instead of Delta, and JetBlue has a lot more flights. I just don't like flying on September 11th. It's just mind-boggling for me because I don't like flying. I have a fear of flying. Thank God I got a pair of Valiums, because I will be popping those MFers as soon as I get on that plane. But, you know, let's just get home tomorrow and enjoy Raw, get back in the swing of things, and go from there. So, everyone, if you enjoyed the episode, you know what to do. And I'll catch you all later on in the week. So be well, everybody. Have a good night, and I'll talk to you all again soon.